Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. This episode has been made in partnership with Crop Life Europe. Now, Crop Life Europe is an organisation that represents Europe's crop protection solutions sector. Essentially, the sector supports farmers with solutions to protect their crops from pests and diseases. And we've made an episode before where we learned more about what they do. Now, during that episode, we spoke briefly about biopesticides, but it's such a huge topic that we promised we would return to it in more detail. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We'll look at how biopesticides are currently being used, how they might be used in future, whether or not current regulations are in need of a shake-up, and talk about what farmers think about their use and their potential. Now, this episode was recorded in late May, just before the European Parliament elections in June, which will become relevant as you listen to the conversation. With me to discuss this is Crop Life Europe's Director General, Olivia Dimartos. Welcome back to the podcast, Olivia.
Hi, Anthony. Great to be here with you today.
Okay, well, look, let's start with the basics. We have touched on this before, as I mentioned, but as a reminder, can you very briefly explain what biopesticides are and how they're produced?
Sure. Without getting into the details and putting it simply, biopesticides are certain types of pesticides that are produced using naturally occurring substances such as plants, microbes, or biochemicals. So that's the easy definition. And they're creating the buzz at the moment, and rightly so, because they offer tremendous opportunities for protecting crops from pests and diseases. But I would like to ask you actually a question. Do you know how much microbes we can find in a gram of healthy soil?
The short answer is no, I don't. We have done episodes in the past around these sorts of topics, and I know it's a large number. Let me take a guess. You know, hundreds of thousands, 200,000.
Well, it's actually calculated that 1 gram of healthy soil can contain up to 1 billion microorganisms.
My word. Okay. It's a lot more than I thought.
It's enormous. It's enormous. But just to give you like an idea on the possibilities that are offered by nature in that case. And so, you know, as I said, the possibilities and resources are endless. Scientists study microbes, bacteria, and fungi because they possess great qualities for protecting crops from pests and diseases. And by looking at what exists in nature and then investing significant amount of time research and development, we can create innovative products, new tools that will address actually the impacts of climate change and the ever-changing pests and diseases pressure. So now, I would like to add that it does not mean that biopesticides replace pesticides or conventional pesticides. It means that it gives more options to farmers and allows them actually to use the latest innovation for what they need. We're talking about here about complementary solutions that complete each other, at least today.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's interesting you bring that up because I was about to ask for some of the differences and some of the benefits of biopesticides.
Well, you know, as with any innovation, I mean, you have advantages and disadvantages. Biopesticides offer an opportunity to target specific pests, specific diseases, and certain weeds, and they reduce the need for the broad spectrum conventional pesticides. And this is where actually they are complementary. They often have a more favorable toxicological safety profile. They break down quicker in the environment, and they also have little or no residual effects compared to the conventional pesticides.
Okay.
On the other hand, there are several considerations such as low efficacy when the disease pressure is high, and therefore another product may be needed to fight off the disease. The important thing is that farmers should have access to these solutions, to a full toolbox of solutions, so that they can choose what is best for the situation that they are facing. You know, sometimes they might need biopesticides, sometimes they might need pesticides, sometimes they need both, and sometimes actually they need none of them. But what they need is access to this solution. This is actually our one of our key asks in that respect. The farmers must have access to the latest innovation that is available.
Okay, and I guess farmers are best place or better place than anyone really to know what they need. Again, you've led me on to my next question, which are around the current rules. So what are the current rules about getting these biopesticides onto the market within the EU specifically?
Well, today, that technology is facing regulatory challenges. It's basically mainly related to the lack of adapted requirements for their approval. In short, what does it mean? It means that innovation right now is outpacing the regulation. If you look at these innovative products, so they are biochemicals, yet the regulation doesn't have the specific guidance documents for their approval. And our sector, our members, are deeply convinced that once these requirements will be adopted, we will see more biopesticides on the EU market. But for now, unfortunately, the technology is being adopted faster in other regions. Just let me take you an example. We have biopesticides approved in Brazil. We have also biopesticides approved in other parts of the world, like the North America, for example. In that respect, and many more than what we have today in Europe. So in that respect, we are behind.
Okay. Just for clarity, how widely used are biopesticides in Europe? Is it that they're not being used at all, or is there partial use? What's the situation?
They are used, but the uptake is still a challenge. With any new solution that arrives on the market, I mean, we need to understand that training and getting familiar with the new innovation takes time. It's not as simple as just upgrading an app on a phone. It's understanding basically the functioning of the innovation and also like what it specifically targets. I think that the biggest challenge, and I mentioned it earlier, is access. For farmers to be able to get familiar with the tools, they need to have access to these tools. And then sort of test them as well. We have to bear in mind that the farmer operates like on a year-to-year basis, right? So, if there is a test in 1 year, and if it doesn't work, he has to wait the year after to test it again. I'm being very simple in the illustrating this, but this is basically it. So access is important, and the more access, the more tools that they have access to, the better it will be for them to identify what corresponds to their needs.
Absolutely. We started this conversation with you explaining to us what a biopesticide is. I wonder, is there an agreed definition? Is there a definition that everyone within Europe agrees on, with everyone in the rest of the world agrees on? Is there one definition?
That's a very interesting question. We do not have actually a definition in Europe. We have several definitions, but not a definition that was put in regulatory terms, right? So, and that common definition, so to speak, would be very helpful. And currently, we operate without a definition. But having one, as I said, would facilitate the processes. And it's also one of our key asks, having a definition that covers that new technology. So we hope that this is going to be taken on board for the next mandate of the European Commission.
Okay, so it would seem, so as a layman really, learning about this topic, an agreed definition would seem to make sense, it would seem to be useful. So what issues are caused by not having agreement? And what are the opportunities presented if we did have a single definition?
So there is a momentum here, right? And I think that the simple existence of a definition would give a common ground for all the producers of these new technologies to basically sort of say, okay, we have a definition at EU level. We have our products. Are these products basically sort of, ticking the boxes of the definition? And then it gives you a bit of certainty. It gives you a bit of clarity in terms of, you know, preparing the future for your technology. So this is where the definition is extremely important.
Okay. All right. Let's set aside the definition for a moment. Are there other things that are preventing the greater use of biopesticides in Europe?
Oh, yes. I mean, as I said, innovation is outpacing regulation. So the current regulation doesn't have provisions for certain new biopesticides. It does this for microorganisms or pheromones. I remember last time, actually, we talked about pheromones.
We did, yeah.
But it doesn't have a definition for biochemicals or others. And this is a major hurdle in the approval of biopesticides in the EU. And then subsequently, the uptake of the technology of farmers. So this is where, you know, I was saying that a definition would bring a common ground for all, let's say, all the family of biopesticides, and would actually make things easier, not only for those companies that are putting or investing actually in research and development, putting the dossiers for authorization, and then putting also this innovation on the market.
Okay, I guess the obvious question is then, can these barriers be overcome or maybe be made less problematic? And if that is possible, how do we do it?
Well, this is what we believe. We believe that there are several things that can be done. So I'm going to get a bit technical here. As I already mentioned, the adoption of the definition is critical. A faster approval pace for biopesticides is also important. And a faster pace would be basically achieved by getting guidance documents for the new categories of biopesticides. So we need that. When I say guidance documents, it's basically the technicalities. So you have a law, and then as a consequence of the law, you have like some specific documents that are called guidance documents that give you all the details on how basically to get in, how to achieve, how basically to sort of maximize the chances of success of your submission, of your request for registration.
Okay.
We also believe actually that there is a lack of resources, there is a lack of capacity, and additional resources are needed at national level. All these dossiers for requesting access to the market are reviewed not only by European authorities, but they're also reviewed by member states. And it is important that the officials, the technical or the scientists, the technical authorities at national level, have the capacity and have the understanding of this new innovation. You are not talking about conventional chemical pesticides. You're talking about a specific family that is biopesticides, and they are not basically the same. So in order to have timely assessments, we need to have also the horsepower to evaluate them properly at technical level. And we also need to see a facilitation of the mutual recognition. Mutual recognition is a specific mechanism actually that exists in Europe where, I'm going to try to be simple here. Europe is divided into zones, right? And then basically the zones, you have some group of member states in each zone, and you have one member state per zone that is doing the evaluation of the dossier. Then we should consider that once one member state of that same zone is basically reviewing and saying, okay, we can go for it. The member states that are sort of in the same zone say, okay, we rely on our counterpart, and we're just also going to authorize it. And that this is what we call the mutual recognition. So that mutual recognition would be actually easier and would facilitate and make the process much quicker. Because today we're still late in terms of processes. But this is just to give you like an idea on the things that could be done to sort of, make things go faster.
Sure. In your opinion, Olivier, is the will there? Is it just a case of things need to change? Do people want to see change, you know, at a nation level? Are people interested in this and trying to get it done? It's just there are hurdles at the moment that need to be changed, and change takes time.
There is, there is a will. Well, there is no choice anyway. It's very simple. The conventional, the amount, the number of conventional pesticides on the market is basically going down. There is a reduction, right? And as such, we need to have more solutions provided to the farmers. Farmers need to have access to more solutions. So there is not only a vital need to address the gap in terms of conventionals that are available, but there is also a need in terms of making sure that we're going to achieve the targets that we have in terms of production. So the more solutions we have, the more solutions we are in a position to offer to farmers, the better they will be equipped to do their job and to produce the food that we need.
How does the EU compare to other parts of the world? Are there examples that Europe could learn from?
Well, as I said, I mean, Europe is basically behind compared to other parts of the world. On average in Europe, I was saying like it takes a lot of time to get a registration process concluded. It takes up to 7 years to bring a biopesticide on the market in the EU. 7 years. In other parts of the world, it's 2 to 3 years. So half. And that makes a big difference. You know, I was saying that farmers need to test the innovation first and to basically sort of, you know, find the right caliber and calibrate properly this innovation. And they need time to do it. So basically, there would be sort of, you know, it would be taking them this amount of time, and they could use that reduced amount of time to do the job and to go quicker in terms of the adoption and the uptake of the innovation. There's another thing also is that when you talk about the return on investment in Europe, this return on investment is 30% below the global average for biopesticides. And this leaves Europe at a significant competitive disadvantage and explain why actually the solutions are not easily available in the EU. So we have basically that timing that is too long. We also have the return on investment. And that is, creating sort of a substantial hurdles here. If we are, truly talking about providing farmers with the tools to basically produce in a more sustainable way, we need to have more biopesticides on the market. That's simple.
Can I ask a follow-on question on the return on investment? Why is it so much lower in Europe?
I think that companies and producers are basically sort of trying to look at, the context, the playground, basically, you know, and saying like, okay, do we have a framework? Do we have a legal framework? Do we have a regulatory framework that sort of, you know, supports this new technology? And at the moment, the answer is, yeah. you can sort of put a dossier, you can do sort of go for a try, and you have a dossier in the pipeline, but maybe with sort of, you know, some framework better defined, we would have more substances in the pipeline. So companies would be less shy, so to speak, to bring this innovation to the system.
Okay, understood. All right. I mentioned in the introduction that we'd talk about how farmers feel about this, and you've touched on that already in some of your answers. In general, do we know how happy are farmers with the current rules as they stand in the EU?
Well, farmers in general welcome access to innovation. You know, everything that can help them do their job is welcome, right? So it's, you know, it's simple. I think, you know, and we, you know, We would support actually that approach. I mean, everything that makes our life easier, our work easier, you know, we welcome it, right? So all farmers, we welcome access to more tools. And when I say all farmers, that includes organic farmers and conventional farmers, all of them. These are tools that can be used by all. Again, you know, organic and conventional. So we are not the the only stakeholder advocating for the access to biopesticides. And, you know, we believe that these are the tools of tomorrow and they are already available in other regions. So why can't European farmers have access to them?
All right. Listen, Olivier, what happens next? Are there any big moments we're heading towards where we could see some change and where, if anyone's interested, should be looking out for, you know, this is the next big news event coming up?
European elections. So in June, we have the European elections and the next mandate, so basically the next 5 years, we'll be deciding on the future of biopesticides. I mean, of the future of agriculture in Europe, but today we're talking about biopesticides and there is an opportunity here to have a specific focus on that innovation. There are several innovations in the pipeline. There are several innovations that are available, but since we're talking about biopesticides today, our hope, and we would be advocating for it, is to basically have a, that all our hurdles are basically addressed and that that we can have a access, or farmers can have access to this new innovation. We can see the benefits of biopesticides. We can see that this innovation can help farmers in addressing the challenges that they have. We should give them that tool. We should give them the access to that tool so that they can do their job. So hopefully the next mandate of the European Commission, and we're going to have also a new parliament. So, the future would be positive and we'll push biopesticides. The next mandate can do more than that because there are several innovations here. The next mandate should also look at plant biotechnology, more specifically the new genomic techniques, and also digital and precision agriculture. These are innovations that are really important and they can make the difference. They have to be part of the toolbox of the farmer. Just reminding that CropLife Europe advocates for a toolbox that is as complete as possible for EU farmers. And that includes conventional pesticides, biopesticides, plant biotechnology, and digital and precision agriculture. And we do hope that the next commission and the next policymakers will look at all these innovations and will make sure that farmers have access to these innovations.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for the European European elections. We'll be watching from afar here in Britain because obviously we no longer get a vote. But we'll certainly keep an eye. Okay, just finally then. So, you know, on a personal level, I guess, how optimistic are you that the EU's approach to biopesticides will change significantly?
I'll start by saying I'm optimistic. I do believe that the technology is bringing added value. We've been advocating for this. We will carry on advocating for this. Our sector has a commitment it's one of the commitments actually that we have for 2030 is an investment of 4 billion euros in biopesticides, 4 billion euros. And our members have already invested 44% of that objective. So the optimism is there. I mean, companies believe that this innovation is valid and has a future. It now depends actually on the regulatory authorities, whether the investment will turn into a actual approved and registered product on the market. So our sector believes in it. We have farmers that are calling for that innovation. We know that European authorities and also national authorities see biopesticides as a very interesting tool. The only thing we need is a framework.
Okay. All right. Well, Olivier, please do keep us up to date with how things go. And, you know, perhaps in 5 years' time, we will be having this conversation and it will be a different conversation entirely. And who knows?
I hope we will have this conversation earlier. That would be a good sign.
Thank you for listening to that episode of the Food Matters Live podcast. Now, before we wrap up, we have some exciting news to share. Food Matters Live is returning this autumn with events in Ascot, Manchester, and for the first time, Dublin. Join us as we inspire the future of food. Whether you're looking to solve innovation challenges, explore positive nutrition trends, or learn strategies for sourcing sustainable ingredients, these events are designed for you. Learn more and sign up at foodmatterslive.com. We look forward to seeing you there.